Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hello.
Hi, Desi.
We're here.
We have breaking news.
I know. Like, I was in the dentist chair, like, refreshing, because I saw the announcement was going to come out.
I first saw this news on Cara Berry's Instagram story.
Okay.
And then I was like, wait a minute. And then I got on Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. So we have a video, an official video statement of Kate Middleton basically quashing all of these insane conspiracy theories that everybody came up with and announcing that she was diagnosed with cancer. She did have a serious abdominal surgery, and then following that, she was diagnosed with cancer. So she's going to undergo chemotherapy. Now, there are people saying or bringing to attention that just as recently as yesterday, the palace put out a statement that Kate was working on a special project.
Look, the only people who should feel any sort of shame right now is the people in charge of the palace media.
Yeah.
And the person who was like, let's put the woman who's going through a cancer treatments and make her lie about photoshopping.
Yes.
That person should also feel really bad. I think the speculation was bound to happen. The palace should have known that this would have happened. And they're in a position where their whole lives are bankrolled by the public.
Right.
So unlike everyone else in the world, they actually have an obligation to talk about their lives more than the regular person does, in my opinion. And it's like, this could have all been avoided if just 3 weeks ago they put out a statement and we'll give you more details. They didn't even have to do a video. It could have just been a statement.
It could have been vague. I mean, like, especially if they wanted to protect the kids and not let the kids know what, like, her exact diagnosis was, if that was like a, you know, obviously a private family matter that they wanted to discuss with the kids in their own time.
Right.
They could have been vague about it and said, like, she's recovering. Her recovery is taking longer than previously thought.
And we'll have details later. Like, just give people something to stop this. Like,
no, one of my mutuals on Twitter was like, instead we got this like Mr. Bean style updates from the palace.
Just that created the controversy. All of that lies and cover up is what made the speculation happen.
It was bizarre, especially kind of throwing Kate under the bus and saying, oh, she's working on her Photoshop skills.
Why they made her do that statement is wild. That's like the most wild thing to me, because that started like almost everything. Like, that kicked everything up into high gear.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Because they did announce Charles had cancer.
Right.
I did see a tweet. I mean, someone else being a jerk. They're like, maybe they didn't want to step on the announcement of his cancer. Like, they were spacing it out or something.
What the hell?
I know. Because someone had read Spare, and I guess that's a thing. Like, I also read a tweet where someone was like, they always manipulate the media and gossip for their use. So, like, it's a thing they do as well.
Right.
So I don't know. I feel bad for her. And obviously she's a mom of very young kids.
Yes.
And this is probably very difficult for her. And it sucks that she's in this life where she has to be exposed like this.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't want it.
No, she can't go through this privately. And that sucks.
Yeah.
It's just wild that they handled it this sloppily.
That's like the story to me. It's how they handled it. And the whole time it was happening, all of us were kind of like, why are they so bad at this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, it was honestly baffling. Like, I would love to get like an in-depth story about each decision, like the decision-making process of the palace.
And I think they let a lot of this happen to kind of distract from what was really happening too. That's what's kind of sick about it.
Well, that's really fucked up because people came up with some wild fucking theories.
Right. And I do think a lot of it was like most people were sort of like just goofing off with it.
Yeah.
But there were people who like had truly like 20 tweet threads.
Deranged
threads.
Yeah.
No, it's really sad for her and just baffling. And once again, the palace or Kensington Palace or whatever their official name is, shows how little they actually care for these people.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. It's really crazy.
Anyway, so yeah, that story just broke
30
minutes ago,
yeah,
right before you got here. Anyway, we do have some more light stories today. I want to talk about, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, this was yesterday. Martha Stewart posted on her Instagram. I saw this right after she posted it. I was out on a walk and I was like at a stoplight and I like glanced at my Instagram and I see this horrific picture and I didn't even see who posted it at first. It's a roast chicken with lobster claws jammed into where the wings are, a lobster tail in the chicken's ass, like coming out of the chicken's ass, and the lobster head coming out of the chicken's neck. So it's like a weird Franken chicken.
That's what that was. I honestly thought it was, I didn't read the caption. I thought it was like a stuffed lobster. And that brown mold, that brown mound in the middle was like a big pile of like, you know how they do stuffed things? Yeah. I thought that was stuffing.
That's a roast chicken.
Okay. That's disgusting.
I know.
Because it's a small roast chicken.
It's a small roast chicken. But obviously people, I like immediately go to the comments because I'm like, am I crazy? That's crazy. And people are like, oh my God, not the chobster.
Is that a thing?
I've never heard of this before. But
Martha's really out of control lately.
I know. I love her Instagram. This is her personal account. This isn't like the official Martha Stewart. This is Martha Stewart 48, I believe.
Oh my God. I'm looking at it closer now.
So the caption reads, "We had the pleasure of dining last night at Maison Barn, which is located at the same location as Cafe Boulogne on Park Avenue. Georgette NY is the proper Trieste. And in her perfect French way, she has created an early 20th century dining experience. The restaurant offers an amazing pâté, roast chicken and lobster, fresh complex salads, delicious desserts, lovely entrees, and spectacular vegetables. The wine list is sophisticated and excellent, and the service delightful. I cannot wait to return."
But this lobster chicken is not sophisticated. Do you know what I mean?
Like, because it's scary looking.
I don't even necessarily know that I want chicken and lobster together.
I don't want chicken and lobster like, it's together.
Not like, I like both of those things, but it's not like a classic combo.
I don't think they go together.
I mean, it's hard to say. It's not like a steak and lobster or something that's served together, like a classic combination of surf and turf, right? I just don't know why those flavors. It's not like they don't go together, but I don't want them together. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I can't really explain why I don't want them together.
Right, because chicken kind of goes almost with everything. You can kind of put it with things. But this combination is like no one was asking for this.
I don't understand it. And I was instantly repulsed by it. Our friend of the pod, Blockhead, quote tweeted my tweet. And he said, "This looks like some shit you'd see crawling around the backyard in Poor Things."
Oh my God.
I mean, this really is some crazy, deranged Frankenstein looking creation.
It just doesn't look right.
It's scary.
I want like I think, is this supposed to be the chicken with the lobster?
Yes.
This next picture. First of all, she truly takes the worst food photos I've ever seen. Like they're all The lighting in all of them is so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, even this, it's like, why would I want this combination? It's like a piece of, it looked like a skewer almost. They've like lined it up, the chicken and the lobster pieces.
I don't know. I don't know about this.
It's like one of those things, if I was having a huge meal and a roast chicken was there and a lobster was there, I wouldn't be mad. But like combining them together as if they complement each other is just weird to me.
I'm looking at the Instagram for this restaurant. I mean, it does look delicious. I'm sure it's really good. Well, I just think this combo is crazy. And the presentation.
I just don't like the way it looks. It looks tacky. It looks like something you get like at a roadside. Like that's their thing. Come for the chopster.
Ew.
You know what I mean? It doesn't look like you would get this at a high-end restaurant.
It's too freakish.
What is this? Maison Barn?
Yeah. Okay. Maison Barn actually doesn't have any pictures on their Instagram.
Oh, it's Daniel Boulud.
I clicked on Cafe Boulud.
Yeah. He's a great chef. So.
Well, this chef, I believe, was Georgette. Georgette Farkas. Her account's private.
Okay. She privatized after this lobster got out.
I'm sure she's a great chef.
No, it's just... And then they're putting some sauce over it.
Yeah.
Right?
They're putting a sauce on it.
What is that sauce?
It's brown.
See, the sauce is where they lose me because I don't want that on lobster. It might work on chicken.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think lobster should be kept as simple as possible. Although I did have a really good lobster spaghetti at Balthazar.
I don't mind lobster in things at all. Like, I'll enjoy it. It's not like something I want all the time, but I don't want brown gravy on it. Mm. I know that much. Then that looks like a brown gravy. Like, what gravy goes on lobster and on
chicken?
I just don't. That doesn't look right to me, but I'm willing to try it if they want to invite us out.
I'll try pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Martha approved, but she was crazy for this.
Yeah. I trust her food opinions.
Anyway, moving on to our next story, also food adjacent. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is from Complex. A burglar does yoga before getting caught for stealing croissants from a bakery.
Burglar does yoga.
This lady in Australia was filmed doing yoga and stretching exercises in front of a bakery right before she robbed it.
Did she rob it of croissants or of money?
Croissants.
Ooh.
She robbed this bakery in Australia of pastries.
She snapped.
Yeah.
She snapped.
The incident, which occurred earlier this month, was no ordinary break-in. A woman dressed entirely in black was captured on the bakery's surveillance camera, engaging in an unexpected yoga and stretching routine. After her warm-up, she allegedly broke into the bakery at around 3 a.m., making off with a variety of items, including croissants.
Ooh.
The bakery, in an Instagram post, expressed its shock at the audacious break-in. Mm. It even found humor in the situation, suggesting that the croissants might have enticed the woman into the crime. We were quite surprised when we saw the security footage from a recent break-in at our bakery HQ. Okay, so this is funny. The bakery posted this surveillance. That's like how this story got out, is because they posted the surveillance footage of this woman popping off outside of their bakery before she broke in. Do you want to see it?
Yes. Oh, shit. She's doing a huge routine.
And it is nighttime.
Okay, so she's breaking in after the bakery is closed.
Yeah, this is 3 a.m.
This is an insane routine. She's got like knee pads on, it looks like, right? I'm seeing some white things on her legs.
Yeah. It looks, I think it's just a design feature for yoga leggings.
It looks weird.
It looks like she's wearing knee pads.
It looks like knee pads because then there's also like a patch on the ankle or something.
Yeah, like, maybe they're built-in knee pads.
They might be built-in. She's like, I'm going to be doing yoga on cement.
Wait a minute, Desi. I think those are holes in the knees.
Oh, shit.
I think they're skinny jeans. They're skinny jeans and those are just holes in the knees.
Okay, that changes everything.
That makes this even crazier because this is like...
That seems like Is it sped up? I'm sorry.
It's sped up.
Because she's going real fast.
No, she is doing a full on, like her heart rate is pumping probably.
No, and she's on that cement with holes in her jeans. Like her knees are on that cement.
This bakery is called Philippa's Bakery.
Nice.
According to Nine News, the woman made off with a peculiar assortment of items from the bakery, including croissants, a pair of shoes, an iPad, and cleaning products.
She was a one-stop shop. She got it all.
It sounds like she was crossing items off her to-do list.
Do we know what happened here? Do we know who this woman is?
The outlet also reported she was charged with theft, burglary, and going equipped to steal. She is set to appear in Melbourne Magistrates Court in May. I don't know who this woman is.
Okay. This is very weird and seems like she broke. She's been on a carb-free diet.
Oh,
she snapped and needed to get herself some fucking buttery flour, flaky pastry.
She's 44 years old, but this Australian outlet, Nine News, does not say what her name is, but she is 44 years old.
I'm just curious, was she intoxicated? They don't say that.
I think you're right. I think she's been on a low carb diet for so long that she's suffering some kind of mania. And she's like, yeah. I'm going to do my workout.
So then I deserve a treat.
And then I'm going to get a treat while I'm here. Oh, look, someone... I don't know. Some employee must have left a pair of shoes behind, that there were shoes in this bakery, but she was treating this like her own personal Costco. She's right. Like, I got my iPad.
And the iPad, they always kind of use that for their register now, a lot of places.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's probably just there.
She's like, this is like going to Costco. I got to pick up an iPad, get some croissants, get some, a pair of shoes and cleaning products.
You get that Costco croissant tray of like 20 croissants for $12.
In the clamshell thing. No, she just did all her shopping.
No, this is wild. The yoga is inexplicable.
The yoga part.
Because it wasn't, for initially I was like, oh, she was stretching to break in. But no, this is like a full on
vinyasa. Like to interview her. She was a full on vinyasa. And kind of a dance routine.
Yeah, it's hard because it's so fast. It makes it look different. Because there's just some regular stretching too, where she spreads her legs and is like bending over.
Yeah. She stole the baker's shoes.
Oh.
Not the baker's shoes.
Was it like their Crocs?
Yeah, their Crocs. Cooking clogs. They always wear Crocs.
Or those kind of clogs.
They're apparently very like good utilitarian shoes for kitchen.
I think because they have a little give in them. So your feet kind of are supported.
And you can wipe them down.
Yeah, the wipe down.
Anyway, our next story is from the Associated Press. The Philadelphia Phillies are scrapping $1 hot dog nights following unruly fan behavior.
When do the Phillies not have unruly fan behavior? They're an unruly lot, Philly fans. And I like it, by the way.
I mean, I have, you know, my mother's side. They're Philly fans.
But that's a really unruly fan base, period, for all the sports.
Philly goes hard.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised.
We've seen the Eagles celebrations.
Classics of the genre.
Guys hanging off of light poles.
Remember the guy who ate the turd?
The guy. Oh my God. What is wrong with people? So this is obviously out of Philadelphia. For more than a quarter century, Philly fans considered Dollar Hot Dog Night among the best ballpark promotions. But the team has now decided it was the worst. Ugh,
what?
They spelled it
W-U-R-S-T.
Those dog days. This guy was having fun. This Dan Gelston, he was really having fun with this article.
He Googled like sausage puns.
And hot dog puns. The dog days of April, when Philly weather is cold and the wieners are a steal, are going gone. The Phillies officially ended the popular promotion Thursday and replaced dollar dogs on select dates with a 2-for-1 deal at 2 April games at Citizens Bank Park. A statement from the team said the change was made, quote, based on the organization's ongoing commitment to provide a positive experience for all fans in attendance. What wasn't positive about Dollar Dog Nights? Armed with projectile Frankfurters, some unruly Phillies fans began chucking their favorite Hatfield meat during a game last year. And the dogs soared like cans of corn. What?
What?
This is...
That's not a famously soaring thing.
The dogs soared like cans of corn throughout the stands onto the field.
What a weird...
Is that a phrase?
I've never heard that.
That is...
Like you would say like paper airplanes or whatever, right?
Yes, a frisbee.
Chris... Corn cans of corn are not famous for being like shot.
Do people specifically? He's very specific. Cans of corn.
Maybe in Philly it is.
I'm gonna have to investigate when I call my grandma this week. That's what I'm gonna ask her.
She's like, "Are you okay,
Grandma? Have you ever chucked a can of corn?"
That's wild.
She go, "What?
No."
The demand for discount dogs also led to clogged lanes, if not arteries, on the concourse, and the cramped spaces led to security and safety concerns.
This is upsetting because these assholes ruined it for everyone.
I know.
Because they were so cheap that they were, it's like you could just throw them.
Why would you waste a hot dog?
I don't like it. Why did you wait on a long line just to throw it?
Bring your own hot dogs from home if you're going to throw them.
I'm mad for everyone.
I am too. This is really sad.
Because that's such a good deal.
I love this writer. The unpopular move failed to cut the mustard with fans.
Oh, they're mad.
Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey responded to a writer for the Crossing Board website who complained about the decision with a post on social media that read, "I agree, more dollar dog nights. At Phillies, let's do this."
Baseball, they need to offer cheaper food.
I agree.
Because it's like you can't go there and you spend $100 just getting like three things.
Here's what else I think baseball needs to do. I mean, I have a lot of things I think baseball needs to do. But in terms of going to games, I think that food needs to be offered beyond the seventh inning stretch. I understand the decision to stop serving alcohol. But I've been to games. I have been to a game at Dodger Stadium that went 18 innings. And when the food concessions closed at the seventh inning, I was like, okay, by the 14th inning, I feel like it should reopen.
But what's the point of closing it?
I don't know.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Stop serving food.
I get stop serving alcohol. That I get. But I don't get why. It's like you're already there. You're cooking shit. Like, why not just close up an hour or two later? Like,
yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't get it at all. But that's like my thing, my gripe.
I saw that City Field has a new food. I always like seeing the new foods that come out.
Me too.
And this one is City Field is wild for this one. So they're serving those Italian rainbow cookies, you know, the
yes,
bars.
Of course.
And an egg roll wrapper.
What? What?
Yes.
Why an egg roll wrapper?
Well, because they're deep frying it. So it's like a rainbow cookie egg roll. It's like fair food.
That's crazy.
I know. I was like, where did they come up with this? It's like, oh, we're in Queens. Gotta get all these Guidos to buy this Italian. Like,
but we're gonna deep fry it.
I did see this controversy. I didn't really look into it, but I wanted to, where someone dissed Italian. They said Italians, you don't know how to
that.
Do cookies.
Right.
Which I disagree with. They have some good cookies.
Yeah.
No one's going to top like French bakery and pastries, et cetera. And just like chocolate chip cookies. I don't know who's responsible for that gem. But it's like Italian, there's some good Italian cookies.
Here's my opinion. I think oftentimes people have only had a poor quality version of something.
Right.
Or not the right recipe.
And there are a lot of stale Italian cookies available where you can have one.
I agree. Yeah. I've had some bad Italian cookies before.
Absolutely.
But I'm not blaming the people of Italy for that or the Italian whatever. I'm saying that I probably had some stale ass low quality, not fresh, not great ingredients, cookies.
I want to do like a, now I'm like, we should do a food tour of stadiums.
Oh, my, that's my dream.
That would be really fun.
And rank them. Who was the best food?
Yeah.
The problem is a lot of times at baseball stadiums, they'll have like some, they'll be introducing some new exciting food item, but it's only on a certain level. And so it's like,
right, you have to know where to go, which stand has it. That's why we need to get to a level where Major League Baseball organizes this for us.
Yeah.
Where they give us the hot food items at each stadium and we don't have to go searching for it.
Because oftentimes these like new exciting food treats are like so far away from where your seats are. And then it's just like it's such a fucking production to get there.
I agree. Because I've seen things and I'm like, where is that?
Right.
I thought you guys had dumplings.
Yeah.
Or like, do you know what I mean? You hear something.
Yeah.
Like, I think I heard that San Diego Stadium had like bao or something.
Dude, I heard so many things about Petco Park, and I went to Petco Park for my first and only time, like opening day 2018. But our seats were in the nosebleed sections. And I was like really excited to go because people were like, oh, Petco Park, this is the best food. But honestly, the food I got there was not great. But then I learned like, oh, well, you didn't go to the right spot. And I'm like, well, I didn't know. I didn't have a tour guide.
Yeah. No, we should do that at some point.
I need to be in the know. Especially at Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium, we could just get cheap tickets and go get the food.
I'm going to Dodger Stadium like next week.
Oh, what day?
The second.
Are the Giants playing?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it would be fun to go to a Dodger game where we don't care about watching and just go around for the food, like get the cheapest tickets possible.
Yeah, and just go around.
And we're just walking around trying to find the best food there.
I'd be curious because that would also just be very useful to me because I go to a lot of games there.
Yeah, then you would know. It'd be like a exploration. Yeah. We would be like Lewis and Clark.
We really would be. We really would be.
We could write about it, like make a little post ranking things there. There is this taco place by me that I think might be selling tacos at Dodger Stadium
soon.
And I'm very curious. I think it's really hard to get in. Mm. So there is that aspect. It's like a little gatekeeping of who gets, because obviously you make a shit ton of money.
I don't think I'm going to the right places at Dodger Stadium. And I've sat in a variety of locations. I've had like very, very good seats before and very, very shitty seats at Dodger. I've sat everywhere in that stadium, right? But I feel like every time I go there, I always wind up with a hot dog and fries or chicken tenders and fries.
Right, like safe bets.
I feel like there's a lot of that at Dodger Stadium. I don't know how much non-traditional baseball food that is available there, and I should probably do more research.
I bet you there's at least some really good taco.
I have never seen it.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a taco at Dodger Stadium before.
We should go. We should walk there. And we'll get like our steps in. And we'll have some food, eat a bunch.
Yeah.
And then walk back full of it. Full of it.
full of food.
Full of all the good finds. I mean, maybe we should research first.
Research first. Anyway, I guess that's all our stories. We can take a break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So are you watching anything good this week?
Actually, I am. Let me get the title. It's on Peacock and it's called The Apples Never Fall.
Oh my God, I've been waiting to watch that. It's out now.
Yes.
Okay.
So I just started it. I was really looking forward to it because it's by the people who wrote, or it's by the person who wrote Big Little Lies. And we've discussed this before. We both like that type of miniseries or show.
Yeah.
Where there's some mystery element, maybe paranormal or not. It's usually focused on a woman. It's like that kind of storyline. And this has Annette Bening, Sam Neill. It has Jake Lacy, who was in like White Lotus. And he was also the guy, the creepy guy, in that other Peacock miniseries we watched.
That was great.
So I'm only one episode in, but I like it. And I'm looking forward to binging it this weekend. Mm. I just had to watch a lot of stuff for work.
Yeah,
for our show.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to. And I got in really late last night after we recorded. So I didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I had to get up early.
No,
but that was like one of those things where I'm like, I want to stay up to 2 a.m. binging this shitty show. Like, it's good though. I think a lot of our listeners will like it. It's a mystery. It's like a family drama. And so far it's pretty good. I mean, it is what it is. Like, I'm not saying it's premium television, but it's I like it so far.
I'm excited.
I'm interested. You'll like it.
I started watching The Three Body Problem on Netflix. Just came out.
I just saw that.
It's good.
What is it? I don't even know what it is.
It's sci-fi.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a show?
It's a show.
Okay.
It's based on a book.
Okay.
I really like it.
Okay. I just saw it start popping up.
No, it's good. It's weird.
What was I watching on Netflix? Oh, I kind of took a break from The Crown because I had to watch so much. But I am on season 3 with Olivia Colman is on it now.
What era is this?
This is like, I think, late 60s, 70s, which is... Here's the thing. I'm not even telling people to watch The Crown because I do think the first season is kind of like, who gives a shit? Second season gets a little better. And so I'm hearing third and fourth seasons are like the best season. So I'm excited. But I think I'm most excited because I'm absolutely obsessed with Queen Elizabeth's trashy sister, Princess Margaret.
Yeah.
Who is a true, I don't want to say slut, but she's on one.
Yeah.
She likes to party. She has affairs. She's the classic younger sister, but it's times 1,000 because her older sister is queen.
Yeah.
So she's extra pissed. Mm. There's like a really great scene where she gets drunk with Lyndon B. Johnson, the American president, and they're like drunk and flirting, and she gets this huge diplomatic victory. But then they're like, we can't send her anymore though, because that was out of control.
Did that happen?
Yes. But she's played by Helena Bonham Carter now.
That's
because
they
just switched it, and she's great, obviously.
Because she's older now.
Here's what I need to discuss with you and our listeners. So in the first 2 seasons, Prince Philip is played by Matt Smith, who also plays the guy in House of Dragons.
Yes.
Damon, is that his name?
Damon.
Is that guy hot?
I don't know. I think he is hot.
I cannot, because if you isolate his face, you're like, he's kind of not that hot.
No,
but
I think
his vibe is super hot.
I think his vibe supersedes his wig on House of the Dragon.
Well, he also is blonde in this, and it's very disturbing because you're like, is Prince Philip hot? Like, when I'm watching it, I'm like, I don't really like being attracted to Prince Philip.
Well, because he's very not hot.
No, because we know his vibe as a ghoul.
Yeah.
When he was like, you know, dead for like 20 years almost.
Yeah.
That's like how most of us know him.
Yeah.
But he wasn't actually that unattractive when he was younger. Like,
right.
Like, whatever, for the royal family, he was fine. But he's really hot in The Crown, and it's very unsettling.
It's confusing.
And I just started thinking more about Matt Smith because I started looking at pictures of him, because I remember being attracted to him in House of Dragons too, even though it was like, no, he looks stupid. Like, so that guy has extreme, I don't want to say BDE, but like he's got it.
He's got charisma.
He is hot energy.
He does.
Yeah. And it's like, that's what you can't get as many, you know, plastic surgeries or Instagram filters or whatever. It's like, you can't bottle what he has.
No.
It is crazy. He's hot.
Yeah, that comes from something else.
No. So yeah, that's sort of my disturbing crown. He's gone now though. Because they aged everyone up.
Right, right.
And yeah, so I'm kind of sad because he gives a lot of longing looks.
Wow.
He's always like looking off in the background and you're like, what's he thinking? I'm going to fuck him. I'm going to fuck Prince Philip.
That's so funny.
It's really disturbing.
What else? Oh, Brendan was on a podcast.
Oh, right.
Brendan did Pod Yourself a Gun. And his episode is out now. So that they're talking about The Wire. They're on the final season of The Wire.
I know.
So
I mean, it's not that many episodes of The Wire.
I'm excited to see what show they're going to do next.
Do you have a dream?
I do. And I've spoken with Matt about it.
What is it?
I don't want to say.
Oh.
Because I don't know. It's like, we've discussed.
Yeah.
We've discussed. I've given him, I know some insider information, but okay. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But I'm just saying, as a friend of Matt, who is the co-host of that show, I have some insider info.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say that. We'll find out soon enough.
I should tell him what I want.
You should. So Brendan was on an episode. It sounds like they had a really good time. He was cracking up. Matt really enjoyed his appearance, and the podcast is called Pod Yourself a Gun.
Yeah.
So check it out. Support their pod. They've been on our show before.
That's right.
And
we've both done the Sopranos one. Did you do The Wire?
I did do The Wire.
Yeah, we're friends with them.
Yeah.
So you should listen.
Yeah. Matt and Vince, they're very funny. So what else? Other podcasts? I don't think I have any other podcasts. I am listening. I am back in my audiobook era.
Okay.
So I'm listening to Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Just like I said I might do, like I threatened to do.
Yeah. How's it going?
I got to say, the showrunners of Game of Thrones really did a good job capturing the book.
Oh.
I understand. I realize that George R. R. Martin hasn't finished the story, so that the showrunners really were at a disadvantage when they had to make the final couple seasons and they were just like making shit up.
Right.
So I think that explains why. George R. R. Martin is just a really good storyteller and he comes up with like really interesting characters.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm at an advantage because I've seen Game of Thrones twice all the way through, so I'm not that confused.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, I know this character.
I did have a podcast I just started listening to. I've seen it around for a while. It's called Beyond the Blinds. Did you ever listen to it?
Mm-mm.
I think one of the co-hosts of Beyond the Blinds was on Kara's podcast.
Is this about Love is Blind?
No. It is about, I don't exactly know because I've only listened to one episode, but I think the concept of this show is they'll pick a person. The episode I listened to was about Fergie from, the singer, not Fergie, the royal.
Not the royal.
And it basically went through her history of blind items. So it's like from the early days, it's like from the 2000s, they start. And they'll read all of these famous, like Ted Casablancas, all of the blind items in those early days of like online gossip websites.
That people speculated were about her.
Yes. So they'll read the ones and they're like, that's clearly Josh Duhamel. They'll have who it is, who they think it is or who it's speculated is. So they kind of go through the history of the blind items. And I think that's what the show is. Because it looks like all of the other titles are just famous people's names or whatever. So it was really funny to listen to just because I remembered a lot of those blind items.
Yeah.
Or variations of them.
Yeah.
So it's like a lighthearted, fun show if you're into that era of people. And like blind items were such a big thing back then.
Dude, where is Fergie?
I don't know. That is, it's like, I like shows that make me research. Because I think I did. I was like, whatever happened to her? I was like, what song were they talking about? Or like, I always like look into it or I'll like listen to her music. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, which song was that? Like, And then there was things I hadn't heard that were just wild. So
right.
It was definitely a fun show to kind of put on when you want something more lighthearted and sort of like pop culture-y.
Her and Josh Duhamel, that was a hot couple.
Yeah.
I was so attracted to them as a couple.
Well, and that's the funny thing, because she was so big for this certain period of time.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, where did she go?
I know. I mean, hopefully she's just chilling with all her money. I know she did release an album like a few years ago, and I remember liking the single that she released.
Yeah.
But I didn't listen to the rest of the album.
Yeah.
So anyway. I don't know what Fergalicious is up to.
I don't think I finished the episode. Maybe they get more into it. But I really liked it.
Cool.
I like that era of pop culture. And in general, those are kind of fun. The hosts are fun. And yeah, I thought it was good.
So what did you eat?
What did I eat?
Oh, we have some other things to discuss before that.
Oh.
Well, Desi and I have posted our Irish Wish recap.
Oh, right.
On Patreon.
So watch that.
So watch, don't forget to watch that. It's on Netflix starring Lindsay Lohan, who looks great, by the way.
Yeah, I mean.
Terrible movie, but we had fun watching it and discussing it. But she looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's at the $10 tier. We'll also be doing a very special after show on Patreon discussing the explosive mini docu series Quiet on Set.
Yes.
Which both of us watched when it dropped earlier this week. We're going to do a discussion of that on Patreon. So look for that later.
This weekend,
posted later this weekend. And we will be recording our first episodes of our Rock of Love recap and our American Idol season 5 on Patreon this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming down the pike.
We have a lot of stuff to recap.
So that's why I haven't had much time to watch anything else.
Yeah.
Eating, I don't have anything exciting. I had a very disappointing cooking experience yesterday. I had bought stuff to make meatballs and what I'll do is brown them and then I'll cook them off in the oven and before I add them to sauce. And I put them in the oven and I went to go sew something I'm working on for my nieces and I fucking forgot about the meatballs. So they got way too crunchy on the, like they were, the outsides were so browned that it was like tough. They weren't tender meatballs, and I had to chuck them. Like, they weren't... I ate a few of them, to be honest, because I was like, can I? Do you know when you mess something up? You're like, is it edible? Like,
yeah.
Because it was, like, truly borderline, and I had to admit to myself that I fucked up.
That's so sad.
It was sad, because I was looking forward to having those little meatballs, and, yeah, I should have set it. I don't know why I don't set a timer on my phone more often.
Yeah.
It's so stupid because I think I just thought I'd remember. But no, I fucked up. And those little balls got too brown.
That's really sad, Desi.
Yeah.
I hate that.
No, it was really sad.
I'm sad for you.
So yeah, that was my big exciting thing I tried to make. And then I tried to get something on my way over here. I haven't eaten. But I couldn't find parking to grab something. Mm. So I was like, shit, now I'm starving and my tooth hurts.
Wow.
I'm a mess. I'm falling apart.
This is really upsetting.
Well, because I went to the dentist so early and then I waited because they like, you know how they are like, don't take you right away?
Yeah.
And you're like sitting in the chair. And I'm like, I have things to do.
I have a podcast to record.
Yeah, I have a podcast. And then... I was like, shit, I'm just going to have to try to grab something and couldn't find parking because I also haven't had coffee. So
you haven't had coffee yet?
No.
Well, we got some coffee here.
Okay, I'll try that.
You can have some.
But yeah, so I'm kind of a mess.
This is really upsetting.
Yeah.
Especially since I don't have anything good to report on food-wise this week. I got exciting food stuff coming up.
I do too. And I... I'm going to be working on some things this weekend.
Yeah. We both have some, let's just say Desi and I have an exciting food project happening.
Yes. So I will have something that I'm going to be working on this weekend. And maybe I'll try to, I think I'm going to try to cook some things this weekend because I'm in a rut. Mm. So I'm going to find some dishes to cook.
Brendan and I have our anniversary dinner tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
It's tomorrow is our anniversary.
Saturday. Oh, Saturday. I don't know what day it is.
8 fucking years.
Wow.
I can't believe it.
That seems so long.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're going to eat.
Of course. You gotta.
We're going to fucking eat.
You don't need to ask me twice. No, that's good. That'll be good.
So I'll report next week on what we ate.
Yeah.
I just wish I had more exciting things, but you know what? We've been so busy. Desi and I are trying to like organize ourselves for this new influx of content we're recording, and we're doing our best.
Yeah, we're getting through it. Checking things off the list.
But I'm excited because I feel like we said, I am excited to rewatch American Idol.
It's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Because both of us light up like Christmas trees, even just talking about past contestants.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm just going to be vibrating the whole time.
I do too. It's going to be a real nostalgia like blast from the past. Because I truly haven't watched it since it aired. I mean, why would I? But I have seen clips and they always get me super excited.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun to rewatch something like that I was so into.
Yeah.
Like truly a super fan.
Me too. It was the only time I ever interacted with a reality show, like voted. Like I voted in.
Yeah. No, I can't remember. I probably said this, but there was like a few shows I've said this where I was like, I will always watch this. I will never. And that was definitely one of them.
Me too.
But people were like, it's fading. It's not as good. I was like, no, it's still good. And I will never stop.
I hung on for dear life for like a few years after its prime, for sure.
It's not my fault. They switched the original formula.
When they got rid of the original three hosts, the vibes changed.
I couldn't.
Or the judges.
After Simon left, that was it for me.
Because didn't Paula leave first?
I think Paula left first.
And I was really upset about that.
Wait, who did they replace Paula with?
Cara DiGuardi.
Oh, right. Cara DiGuardi.
Remember Cara DiGuardi?
Wasn't she in Ashley?
She was in the Ashley Simpson show.
She was
show.
There briefly. Because I remember I was like, wait, was that Cara DiGuardi? Like, I had to look. I was like, oh, shit, it was Cara DiGuardi.
Yeah.
I didn't mind Cara DiGuardi.
I didn't mind her either.
But Simon is irreplaceable, in my opinion.
Yes.
I liked Paula.
I liked Paula.
But Cara was fine.
But then when they started adding in, like, just like, it was four judges at one point, and it's like no shade to those celebrity judges at all. I'm just saying, I liked it the first way.
I also feel like I didn't want someone who was a celebrity as a judge.
Yeah, I like that it was kind of like two more music industry professionals and then a superstar like Paula Abdul. I liked that formula.
But it kind of worked too, though, because this was like a comeback for her.
Yes.
So I think that's why it was sort of more, it wasn't like she was in her prime.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
It was exciting to have her back in the spotlight.
It was also sort of random.
It was random.
So it was like, why Paula Abdul?
I loved it though.
No, I loved it too, but it was totally like not who you would think.
No, it was so weird.
Anyway.
Okay. So we'll be doing that this weekend. Yeah. We scheduled that for this weekend. But like late weekend.
Sunday,
we're going to record that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's so much shit to do. It's Friday already. Holy shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll be, look for those on patreon.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. I'll have a link in the show notes and we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.